Today is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. Our scripture lessons are from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Today's message is titled, Radiate Brilliantly the Faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. And this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For whom among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Here ends the lesson, the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. And again, it's the continuation of Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law, until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther. The Gaither Vocal Band began singing. In the midst of World War II, with tensions running high off the eastern seaboard, on a dark and foggy night, a captain sighted out ahead, just off the starboard side, the beacon of another ship. The two would soon collide. "Adjust your course 10 degrees to the north," he radioed ahead, and much to his amazement, the ship replied, "Instead, adjust your course 10 degrees to the south." The captain felt a chill. His eyes grew cold and narrow, and the two drew closer still. "I'm the captain of this vessel, and this is a command. Adjust your course 10 degrees to the north, or receive a reprimand." Again, the voice replying was calm and smooth as glass. "Adjust your course 10 degrees to the south. I'm a seaman, second class." "I'm a U.S. naval destroyer," snapped the captain with a shout. "Now adjust your course 10 degrees to the north. No discussion, over and out." They drew unnervingly closer, his eyes fixed on the light. This time the voice dripped through the air like lightning tears the night. "I am the lighthouse. I'm the lighthouse. The path you chose is perilous. Destruction lies ahead if you delay. But if you'll trust me, I will lead you safely through. Adjust your course and you'll be on your way. I am the lighthouse." Growing up and enjoying many summers of vacation Bible school, from the youngest memories of about age 5 at the old chapel on Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama, to the many summers at Grace Lutheran in Bowie, Maryland, singing "This Little Light of Mine" seemed always to be present and sung during those times. "This Little Light of Mine" first appeared as a poem in 1925 written by Edward G. Irvin's in Montana, soon became a song and spread throughout the Midwest. In 1934, the first recording was made as Alan and John Lomax, American folklore collectors. They were folklore brothers. They happened to record Jim Boyd singing "This Little Light of Mine" in the state penitentiary in Huntsville, Texas. Many versions have appeared through years, and most are familiar with the Harry Dixon Loess version from the mid-1940s. Now, you search online, and there's other versions of the history of "This Little Light of Mine" appearing on the web. Most point to Henry Loess, and they do not mention Irvin's at all. The wiki editors, they try to distance the lyrics from its source in scriptures of Jesus' remarks to his followers, according to written in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Wiki editors go, given the source, and they say, some claim the son takes it from the theme of Jesus' remarks to his followers. And they go on to say, given that the source is unknown and God and Jesus are not mentioned in the words, it is equally possible that the song reflects a global longing to be seen as a good person trying to make the world a better place. Now, the wiki editor's historical revision is clearly demonstrated by the phrase "global longing." You know, that's a modern current culture phrase, "global longing." It makes clear the bias of wiki editors, and it's oftentimes all through their stuff regarding the Christian faith. From the New American Standard Bible, 1995, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." This little light of mine. How many of you did that when a kid? This little light of mine. Holding up that index finger and waving it high and full of enthusiasm and glee of a 5-year-old. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I mean, the imagination makes that little finger of a 5-year-old a mighty candle. A candle is our modern version of an oil lamp. And a candle comes to most people's minds when singing this song. And if you've ever been out in the dark, it's amazing what a little candle can do to dispel the darkness. And if you really want to dispel the darkness, put the proper number of candles on your birthday cake. For some of you, that'll dispel a lot of darkness. Others, not as much. But you know, just a little candle, a lot of light. Give light. When I was at Boy Scout camp, I would write letters to my friends by candlelight. Have you ever tried to write a letter by candlelight? It was by candlelight in my tent at night before going to bed. You know, it's an interesting experience to try to write a letter in the flickering light of a candle as the candle casts moving shadows as you're writing. Several times I had to take a double take to make sure I spelled a word correctly in the moving shadows of that dancing candle flame. In the North Church steeple, two lights showed a warning with a message. April 18th, 1775, two men climbed the stairs into the steeple. Sexton Newman and various vestrymen, Captain Poling Jr., they held high two lanterns from Longfellow's poem, "One if by land, two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be, ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middlesex village and farm for the country folk to be up to alarm." Give light. Give warning. As part of the rite of baptism, a candle is lit from the Christ candle, showing the light of Christ is now the light in the baptized. As this is done, these words are spoken, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Words straight from Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus spoke and recorded in Matthew 5. Let's unpack this verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, by pulling from the Greek several of the key words. Let your light shine. Shine, the Greek is lampo. Lampo, lamp, I mean lampo. It means shine, give light. It also means to beam, to radiate brilliancy. Radiate brilliancy, that is to be intense brightness. Radiate brilliantly before, that's in the presence of others, so they can see. Radiate brilliant, intense light before others so they can see. See, that they may look upon, may experience, may perceive, may discern. And that Greek word translated as see, it has an aspect of seeing with the physical eyes as a bridge to perceive and grasp the spiritual truth. Good works. Good works. See the good works. Good. The Greek word is kalos. Kalos. Good. Meaning beautiful as an outward sign of the inward good. Kalos. It's attractively good. Such good that inspire and motivates others to embrace what is lovely, beautiful, praiseworthy. It's winsome and appealing. Kalos. Good. Winsome and appealing. There used to be a time and age when art drew out the good in you. Winsome and appealing to draw out the very best and beautiful. How much of art today is this kalos, this good that draws out the best? Or is how much of art today is intended purposely to be cutting edge and it draws out the worst? It's not good art if that's what it does. Your good deeds, your good accomplishments, these things from your light shining, these good deeds, good accomplishments, this shining, brilliant, intense light turns attention to the Father and the Father's glory. The word glory here means infinite, intrinsic, inherent worth. And only God possesses that. Inherent, intrinsic, infinite, inherent worth. only God the Father, and with such honor, praise belong only to God. It's to the Father's glory. As we shine our light with such intense brilliance, we do this to bring honor and glory to God the Father, not for accolades and praises or rewards for ourselves, but for the honor and glory of the Father. We shine the light, which means we live the faith, for the glory of God. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. We shine this light brilliantly and intensely means we live the faith for the glory of God. It's to draw people's attention to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. This is again Paul in the Word of God. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Living out the faith, radiate brilliantly the faith, it's not a matter of your strength or your ability or your wisdom. Rather, it is resting in the power and promises of God to work in and through you as the light of Christ has come in you and shines through you. It shines through you because the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified of the faith has set you free from sin and death, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the living God, now resides in you. Faith, the faith in you, rests not on human wisdom, but it's on God's power. That faith in you rests on God's power. Psalm 119, verses 105 and 106. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. Jumping down to verse 110 and through 112 of Psalm 119. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Give light. Give warning. Shining the light of Christ. Have that picture, that image of lighthouse be in your mind more than a candle when you talk about being a light for Christ. That image of a lighthouse. Because a lighthouse is built where it is to give direction, it's also built there to give warning of the dangerous waters to steer clear of. So a little candle is wonderful, it gives light, but that side, that aspect of warning is not so much with a candle. But with a lighthouse, it gives light, it guides, it directs, it also gives warning. Steer clear of the dangers ahead. In the 1977 Disney movie Pete's Dragon, the one with the animated dragon that has Mickey Rooney, Helen Reddy, Shelley Winters, Jim Dale, and a whole bunch of other major names in the musical. It's a wonderful, I like that one better than the new Pete's Dragon they let out, but the animated dragon in Pete's Dragon. I'm going to give a spoiler alert. If you haven't watched it, spoiler alert, do this for a little bit with yours, whatever. But the scene, the climatic scene, is during a storm. The light in the lighthouse goes out, and a ship is trying to navigate into port past the dangerous rocky stretches jutting out into the waters. Must get the light lit again, but the weather conditions of wind and rain are overcoming all their attempts. The usual methods to light cannot overcome the conditions. Dragon power is needed. The power of dragon fire is needed. Pete's dragon must blow the blast to light the wick in the howling winds for the light to radiate brilliantly from the lighthouse and save the ship, directing it safely into port. The winds of these days are blowing hard against the faith. Popular culture pushes against the most basic truths that God ordained in the order of creation from male and female to the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. Will you be a lighthouse in these hurricane winds of the culture? Shining the light into the darkness, it's not easy. And this is the reason why. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. This is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. So that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Coming into the light. In other words, expose evil. Expose evil and you will be vilified by the current culture. Speak the truth with love as you radiate brilliantly the faith. And this will most likely happen to you. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you. Parents, trying to protect the innocence, the modesty of their children, speaking before school boards, they've experienced persecution. Recently in the news, mothers trying to protect the innocence of their daughters in YMCA locker rooms. These mothers are being told they're wrong. I could share so many more of these types of incidents that demonstrate the culture's choosing more and more the way of darkness over the light of Christ, as expressed in John chapter 3, which you just heard a few moments ago. Men love darkness, lest their evil deeds be exposed. We live in a broken world, a world where people still are needing grace, needing mercy, needing the love of Jesus Christ. You and I, too, daily need that mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. For though we are redeemed children of the Father, we still walk in human weakness and brokenness and sin. Still, these words ring true. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Again, the New American Standard Bible, 1995. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ, in Him crucified, this is what we proclaim. And this, only this, is the hope and light of the world. Just as the lighthouse and Pete's dragon brought safely home the beloved lost sailor, and just as lighthouses warn about danger and guide around danger to safety, the battleship and many other ships through the years, you be a lighthouse for Christ, to warn and guide the lost to the love of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. In the calm and fair weather, a lighthouse seems to have little purpose. But in the storms, the lighthouse is essential. It's vital. It's crucial for survival. The storm is coming, and the light of Christ will be needed more and more. The righteousness of Christ will be needed all the more in the face of the unrighteousness of the world. The signs are there. The proverbial handwriting on the wall is there. It's all the more imperative for the church, that is we who make up the church. We are the church. All the more imperative that the church of Jesus Christ radiate brilliantly the faith for the glory of God. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You have been redeemed by Christ. Seek the lost. Be a lighthouse. Give light. Give warning. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, so that just maybe through your warning and your light, they may make it to salvation. A lost soul finds Christ and the safe harbor that Christ offers and gives freely by grace. You be the lighthouse for the glory of God. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Amen and amen.